Welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, where we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lam, and on today's show, we're talking to Kamaka Diaz, and he's a social media influencer, host of the Keep It Aloha podcast. And of course, we're going to find out what it takes to create content and keep your audience's attention. Hey, Kamaka, welcome to Bite Marks Cafe.
Aloha, Bert. Mahalo for having me.
Yeah, you know, it's great to have you on. And, you know, we sort of first met each other. I mean, of course, we saw each other on social media, but in person over at, there was a PBS Hawaii, I guess it was a town hall about social media.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there must have been a crowd of about, I don't know, a dozen, maybe 15 folks. But you and maybe one other person was actually referred to as a social media influencer. So,
you know, I believe it's Malika Dudley and I.
Yeah, there you go. And so what is it that you, I guess, interpret as being a social media influencer? I mean, what qualifies you to be that?
I mean, I guess people consider us influential. I don't really care for, like, the social media influencer title.
Yeah.
Because I think some people might feel that way because of, like, the stigma on social media influencers. Because I think when it first started coming up, you think of, like, people taking selfies and doing TikTok dances and doing these things kind of for clout, as they would say, to,
mm-hmm.
you know, get a following. But I think people like Malika and I, which I love our space, is that we kind of live our lives doing what we love. Like, she's a meteorologist, and she shares stories of her family and her life. And I think I'm similar in that way, where I'm basically just sharing my businesses, my life, it's really just an authentic view of my life through the lens of a social media app.
Yeah.
So I feel like,
no,
I
go ahead.
Feel like people are just influenced by that. So we fall into the category of influencer, which I understand.
So in Malika's case, I mean, she's a, you know, weather person, and she kind of has a certain degree of celebrity, right? So that mm-hmm. celebrity sort of feeds into the, you know, being a social media influencer. In your case, you kind of built up that audience, right? I mean, and mm-hmm. and maybe you can kind of describe what it is that helped your sort of attainment of celebrity. Was it through the Keep It Aloha podcast, or what is it that you think really contributed to people wanting to know what Kamaka is all about?
I think it's just really my story. I think I, you know, started from Hilo and then moved to Oahu, studied abroad, lived in Madagascar, came back, did the Race to 50K, where I paid off my student loans by just doing a bunch of odd jobs. So I think all of that kind of ties into who I am and what inspires people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it wasn't until 2020 when I did the Race to 50K,
mm-hmm.
where I was posting my whole life, every single day, all the jobs I did, every dollar I made, every dollar I spent, just documenting everything from morning to night. And then people started to follow me through that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think through that year, a lot of opportunities came up. Same with like Hawaiiverse. That's when we created the Hawaiiverse platform. And through doing that, I met more business owners. I was in front of the camera more, doing spotlight videos on businesses, highlighting their products and stories. So I just started to be in front of the camera a lot. And I think just what we were doing, and me being in the community a lot, my name started to get out there. And because it was documented, it was able to reach a bigger audience that wasn't just in our general vicinity.
Mm-hmm. Now, was there something that really drew you to wanting to kind of like put your life out there on social media?
I think I guess I felt like I have a pretty unique life. My story's kind of unorthodox, you know, Hawaiian immersion school,
mm-hmm.
living abroad, Peace Corps, and even the way that I paid off my student loans was very odd.
Yeah.
It was literally doing odd jobs. So I think I just felt like it's an interesting story, and I really wanted to inspire people, especially the people of Hawaii, to show them, like, hey, this Hilo boy that came from Hawaiian immersion school can do all these things. So can you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was my drive. And then I just have a heart for community and helping others. So I just, yeah, everything that I do is community driven. And I like to think it's for others, even though, you know, in a way that's selfish because I get pleasure from helping others. So I feel like it's a good give and take, a lot of, you know, reciprocity between mm-hmm. giving aloha and receiving aloha. But I feel like in my life, no matter what I do, I can never give enough, and like it's never going to be enough for everything that was given to me. So I'm just in this constant state of always trying to give back.
Well, you live a blessed life, so that's a good place to be. Now, when you were, you know, looking at this point in time in your life when you're trying to pay off your loan and try to, you know, tell your story, and looking at the social media landscape, what were some of the key platforms? I mean, obviously, you know, there's the obvious ones, but what were you looking at in terms of the choices, and how did you settle on, you know, those kind of like key platforms? What is your favorite like platform to help get the word out?
Well, Instagram, I believe, is the biggest at this point in time. So I really focus on Instagram and, you know, connecting it to Facebook. But Facebook, you know, a little bit more outdated, different crowd over there.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. That was more of a secondary thing. But I really focused on Instagram and YouTube. YouTube mainly because you can get monetized. So when I was planning out everything, I made sure that I grew my YouTube channel so I could get monetized, so that would be some passive income while I was doing everything else. And just a way to document everything, you know. YouTube is just a big archive of our life. So I think that's like the beautiful thing about social media, is that you can like have this database of your whole life that you can show to people
Did you have to learn the tricks of the trade in terms of how to monetize a YouTube channel?
I had a general idea. I used to post YouTube videos starting like my first year of college back in like 2011.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a general idea of how to do it, and I knew what the requirements that I needed to reach in order to get the channel monetized. So because I had that prior knowledge, I kind of just worked towards that and did the appropriate steps.
Well, that sounds pretty good. Now, you know, we mm-hmm. do want to get into like how you decided to create the Keep It Aloha podcast. So I want to hold that thought. We'll be right back after this short break to continue our conversation with Kamaka Diaz. He's a social media influencer, celebrity as well, and of course the host of the Keep It Aloha podcast. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors Hastings and Pleadwell, a communication company, and Furniture Plus Design.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Bert Lum. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Kamaka Diaz. Pretty famous guy, social media influencer, and of course the host of the Keep It Aloha podcast. And right before the break, I was chatting with Kamaka. We're talking about, you know, kind of what really kind of drove him to want to put a lot of these stories online. And Kamaka, you were sharing about how, you know, YouTube is probably a good channel, since a lot of stuff that you do is video. As well as, you know, Instagram, because Instagram is also a combination of photos and videos and shorts and all that. And then now you're spending quite a bit of time doing the Keep It Aloha podcast. Mm-hmm. What is it that kind of got you to start thinking about putting a podcast show together? And, you know, not, it's kind of more than just telling the story about Kamaka Diaz, but, you know, now actually bringing on guests and talking about, you know, other people.
Yeah, the podcast started from Hawaiiverse when we were doing spotlight videos highlighting other businesses and people and their stories.
Mm-hmm.
So we started to phase that out in 2021, and my team saw where, you know, podcasts were going, and there was a space in Hawaii to, you know, do it, to grow it, because it wasn't really popular here. So they actually convinced me to start the podcast. And it's funny because I didn't want to start a podcast. I kind of pushed back. But they convinced me to do it. They set me up at Summit Media, and we started with a little GoPro on the windowsill, and I just started booking guests and talking stories. And you know, the more I did it, the more I loved it, and it kind of grew into its own beast.
Where yeah,
it blew up so quickly that it overtook our own business, Hawaiiverse. So when people would see me, they would be like, "Hey, Hawaiiverse, I love your podcast." And we're like, "Oh, Hawaiiverse isn't just a podcast; it's this and this and a online directory. We have a comic store, blah blah blah." So I decided to rebrand it last year and rename it Keep It Aloha, so we could separate it. So Hawaiiverse can be its own thing. Keep It Aloha podcast can be its own thing, and they can, you know, coexist and help each other out, but still being separate entities.
Well, you know, I think it was a couple of weeks ago I had Jared Kushi on, who really spoke about Hawaiiverse, and then now I have you on talking about Keep It Aloha. Now, when you did the Hawaiiverse podcast, was the concept pretty much the same? Just having guests come on that, you know, you folks were maybe interested in, fascinated by. What were the guest kind of criteria for the Hawaiiverse, and did it have to change when you got to start doing, you know, Keep It Aloha, or were they the same?
Yeah, because it was Hawaiiverse, and Hawaiiverse's mission was to support local businesses and the local community. We were mainly focused on entrepreneurs and people with some sort of business acumen, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with my background in Hawaiian immersion and the culture and traveling, living abroad, the conversation started to gravitate more towards people and their stories and culture. So it kind of evolved into this like Hawaii culture, celebrity pop culture podcast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it didn't really make sense to be Hawaiiverse, because the goal of the Hawaiiverse podcast was to drive people to our store, Hawaiiverse.
Mm-hmm, right.
But like I said, it became its own thing, and I just rode with the momentum and what people really wanted to hear, and that's how it became the Keep It Aloha. And I felt like, you know, Hawaiiverse podcast was limited to Hawaii, but I feel like Aloha is a lot more universal, and we can keep a lot of the Aloha in Hawaii, but we can also spread some and reach people outside of Hawaii. So that was the goal with Keep It Aloha.
Now, you know, as a podcast host, I mean, it's one thing to be using Instagram and, you know, using YouTube and other platforms like Facebook to tell your story. But now, as you are probably spending a lot more time doing Keep It Aloha, and you're actually now probably more focused in on finding guests, how do you pivot to do that? I mean, how do you broaden your kind of like network and contacts so that you can, I guess, pick those right guests that would make your podcast, you know, an interesting thing, right? So it's not about it. It all of a sudden is not about you anymore. It's more about like, who are these interesting guests that you have on your podcast? How do you find them? How do you make sure that your network is wide enough so that you have a good diverse selection to pull from?
Yeah, I think in the beginning I started with anyone that was in my network, my immediate network, or they were just like 1 degree of separation away.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, it kind of expanded into a bigger network, because, you know, you get one person, they know another person, they know another person. So I think that's what helped the podcast grow quickly too, is that we got people of diverse networks. So it was able to reach a bunch of different demographics quickly. So by doing that, people who were into food, people who were into sports, people who were into culture, people who were into music, they kind of all came to the Keep It Aloha podcast to tune into these guests and maybe find other guests that maybe they wouldn't necessarily have found just following a certain type of person. So I think it's just like that's why you're right.
Yeah.
It's the people you know, and then they connect you with more people, and it just keeps growing like that. So, you know, they have like what, 6 or 7 degrees of separation, but here it's like 1 or 2, right?
That's right. I mean, and you know, a guest that's on your show could easily become, or actually become, somebody that recommends another guest for your show. You know, yeah. if you're just tuning in, you know, we're talking to Kamaka Diaz, and he is the host of the Keep It Aloha podcast, and I'm learning all these secrets of how he has sort of broadened his network to invite interesting guests on the show to kind of keep the content fresh. And, you know, Kamaka, one of the things that you've done that's really kind of interesting is that your podcast is typically like a couple of hours long, right? So it's a pretty long conversation that you might have with, you know, an individual. And it's on video, right? So it's like you and, mm-hmm. and your guests kind of like sitting on the couch in front of a couple of mics and, you know, you guys are videoing that. Now, what I find really kind of fascinating is how you are able to repurpose some of that content. And I kind of want to hear your thoughts on what is it that you're looking for? And you know, you're taking a potentially long form and making it into a short form. And what platforms are you, you know, now sharing that out on?
Yeah, excuse me. The original idea was just to cut the long podcast into short clips to lead people to the whole episode, right? Because not everybody's going to sit down and listen to an hour, half, 2 hour long podcast. So we understand that. So these little snippets of the podcast that we cut and put on social media, you know, they're just more digestible for our audience, you know, because everybody's attention span, you know, it's so small these days.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So and we want everything in an instant, you know, that's what Instagram, you know. So when my podcast producer partner, Jordan, came on, he started producing the podcast. His idea was to basically take that whole 2 hour long episode and just shotgun approach, just blast everything out on social media. Because before we would do like maybe two clips from the episode, three clips from the episode. And he was like, nah, let's post one every single day. So for the last couple of years, we've been posting a clip from the episode every single day because it's just more efficient than, you know, taking like 2 days to record a whole entire video or documentary or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you just post one clip and that whole thing, it kind of just goes to waste. So when you have this this content, you might as well repurpose it as much as possible and put it on all platforms. So that's what I encourage people to do, is put it on every single platform you can and get as much as you can from it. Because, I mean, you put in the work and you might as well just not let it go to waste, right?
Well, you know, that's a great lesson, I think, that you are sharing with our listeners who are maybe looking at repurposing content. And what, you know, like when you take, let's say, as an example, you know, you're interviewing somebody for 2 hours, you're probably thinking, did they say something that was really novel or inspirational or, you know, kind of blew your mind? It's not easy to just necessarily just go back and find that, right? I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into that. So the amount of time that you do producing the show and the amount of time trying to find the clips, I mean, that's time that people have to spend, you know, creating, let's say, short clips for every day of the week. How do you go about doing that? What's your work process to achieve that?
Yeah, it takes a lot of work. A lot of the work is really done on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
I said showing up and talking stories, that's the easy part.
Yeah.
It's all the logistical things, you know, scheduling guests, trying to find guests, and trying to, you know, get everybody into the studio at the same time in my schedule, the guest schedule, my producer's schedule, and then time stamping it after. So after the podcast is finished, I get the audio, the raw audio from my editor, and he and I listen to the whole thing again, and I timestamp everything. Mm-hmm. I mark down like, oh, 12 minutes and 13 seconds, that's where this person said this, and I give it to my editor, and he cuts everything, and then I also cut like parts for the trailer, parts for shorts, parts for a longer video on YouTube. So it's not like something you can kind of just like play in the background. I'm really actively listening to it again, so that I can get the best parts of each episode and put that on social media to hopefully, you know, bring people to the entire episode.
Well, you know, you're sharing some great lessons, and you know, maybe there's lessons in there for me to take a look at. But I do want to ask you a little bit about some of the business side of, you know, running Keep It Aloha, because with all this time that is invested, how do you make sure that people are, you know, properly compensated? Well, hold that thought. We'll be right back after a short break to continue our conversation with Kamaka Diaz, social media influencer and the host of the Keep It Aloha podcast. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors, Bavarian Motor Experts, and Chaminade University.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I am Bert Lum right here on Hawaii Public Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Kamaka Diaz. And he's a celebrity and, of course, very popular on social media and the host of the Keep It Aloha podcast. And, you know, right before the break, Kamaka, you know, we're talking about the sort of like the main podcast is like a couple of hours long. And, you know, you have a cool guest that come on. And, of course, you know, during the course of that 2 hour period, I'm sure there's, you know, good amount of content and information that's being shared. And in order for you to actually kind of repurpose some of that, I mean, it takes a fair amount of time to go back, listen, timestamp, and then edit and repurpose. That process is not, you know, not trivial. And I guess, you know, one of the things that you have to do is make sure that you've got a pretty viable business doing the Keep It Aloha podcast, right? So, you know, keep people gainfully employed. I mean, what's the business side of Keep It Aloha podcast?
So our overhead isn't that crazy because it's just my podcast partner and I. Mm-hmm. So basically I just pay him to produce the podcast, edit video, and then, you know, get me the clips. So I do all the scheduling, hosting, timestamping and posting, and he does everything else. So pretty much I just pay him to produce it. And, his business is called The Kind Media. So we work together. We're partners in each other's businesses. So it's a lot of work for the two of us. So we are trying to grow our team, but basically it's just exactly what I told you. It's just a two-man team.
Yeah.
Doing a lot of stuff. I mean, I post on four different platforms every single day. And it's just me doing that.
You know, in terms of the business model, the revenue stream, what is it that are you still dependent on the sort of like getting monetizing the YouTube channel, or are there other ways that you're able to draw in revenue?
Yeah, there's many ways to do that. One is getting paid from the streams, ads on stream. So that's through YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can get, you know, paid from all of that. There's also Patreon, which is like a crowd funding, crowdsourcing, I think something like that, where you can have subscribers support you and give you money every single month for different perks. You know, if they're in a higher tier, they get to listen to the episode before it comes out, or, you know, they get behind the scenes access to certain things. So there's that. And then the biggest one are sponsorships. So, you know, once you have the right numbers and you know, track your analytics, those numbers are what basically sells to sponsors because they want to get in front of a bigger audience. So right now we have Texaco as our title sponsor, and then we have a drink sponsor, Shaka Tea, and then we know we're always actively looking for other sponsors. We had different sponsors in the past, like 7-Eleven, even like KTA and Hilo, a bunch of other ones like that.
So would you consider yourself the business manager of the whole enterprise?
Yes, but I would say in our partnership, just like Hawaii versus Jared's the businessman, I'm more like the creative side in this. Jordan is in the podcast, Jordan is the business side, and I'm the creative side. But because the podcast is basically ran by me, I kind of do everything, but I rely on you know, Jordan and other mentors like Lincoln, like we talked about off the podcast, for advice on stuff like that. But you know, I only started getting sponsors because you know, when Jordan came on, he produced the podcast for free, and he's like, okay, well, to keep doing this at the high level that we want to, I'm going to need to get paid. So, you know, everything came from almost necessity.
Right, so, right.
That's basically what we're at now, and now we're able to do it full time for the both of us. So I feel really blessed to be able to do that.
No, that's great. Of course, if you're just joining us and you're just tuning in, you know, we're talking to Kamaka Diaz. He is one of the probably the most active social media person out there that I know, and has been very successful. We're talking about the business and how to really kind of create revenue from, you know, all the content that he's producing. And so, you know, Kamaka, with the new sort of platforms, like, well, not new, but, you know, TikTok as an example, I mean, a lot of what you repurpose goes on places like TikTok. Obviously, Instagram is another good place, but TikTok seems to be a good platform to share some of the real short, like, you know, 1 minute, 2 minute kind of clips. How's it turned out for you? Is that a good revenue stream?
I think it's similar to, you know, YouTube and Instagram. You know, you don't make too much money unless you're getting millions and millions of views.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always nice, you know, it's passive income. It's, you know, a couple $100 here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But unless you're in, like, the huge millions, then, you know, you're not really making a life-changing amount.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
you know, TikTok is just another avenue that we can use to reach other people. And their algorithm is pretty good where, you know, you can reach, you can grow your following pretty quickly. But then, it's also, I think, one of the most negative platforms out of there where it reaches a lot of people outside of your demographic.
Mm.
And there's a lot of, like, trolls and stuff like that. I was just talking with somebody else about that, and they're seeing the statistics. They looked at the statistics for all the different platforms, and TikTok had the most negative interactions.
Ah, interesting. So you don't necessarily feel too badly about the potential eventual TikTok ban?
Oh, no, I'm hoping for that. I'm like, get all these trolls off of TikTok. Leave us alone.
yeah. So if TikTok goes away, would you focus some of your short content?
We're still on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube Shorts. Maybe something else comes up. Yeah, I was never super into TikTok. When it got big, I was living in Madagascar, so I never really, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Joined the craze. I only joined because of, you know, to post the podcast clips.
Right.
So I see social media as just, you know, a way to leverage business and, you know, share the fun things in life.
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't think I'll really miss it. I just feel like when you get so involved in a business and a brand, you want to make sure you have an identity outside of that. So for me, my business is social media, but my identity isn't social media.
Hey, so Kamaka, where can people find out more about the Keep It Aloha podcast?
You can go to keepitaloha.com. You can get some merch over there. But I think the easiest way is just go to our Instagram.
Sounds good. Sounds good, Kamaka. Kamaka Diaz is a social media influencer, host of the Keep It Aloha podcast. I'll put the links up on the show notes for later on tonight. And of course, I want to thank you, Kamaka, for joining us today. And thank you all for listening to Bite Mark Cafe. Join us next week. We're going to talk about the upcoming Hawaii Energy Conference. If you miss any part of this edition, you can find a podcast of tonight's show on bitemarkscafe.org. Our engineer is David Chong. You can catch us on HPR One every Wednesday or anytime via the HPR app or your favorite podcast application. In the meantime, you stay safe. You stay awesome. We'll see you next week on another edition of Bite Marks Cafe.